want to call your attention to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 12, verse 24. And I am placing special emphasis starting now, but as we go into the new year, God willing, we want to place special emphasis on the word of God as it relates to our young people. Amen. We have some kind of way devalued the word of God. And we used to, you know, when we used to have training union and youth encampment and all of those things, we taught young people the word of God. Now, mind you, they didn't understand it all. But amen, as Pastor Thomas in D.C. said, he said that even when he wasn't paying attention to the word, he discovered as he got older that the word had been paying attention to him. And so what we want to do is equip our young people with the word, amen, so that as they face life's battles, they won't turn to drugs and alcohol. When they have fights, they're not going to, amen, try to get even and pull out their guns and all of that. They will rely on the word of God. So that is very important. Mark chapter 12, verse 24, it says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God." Do ye not therefore err, or error, or mess up, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. Now I want you to turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms, and remember that Psalms is a song book. Amen. So it doesn't have chapters, we say numbers. So the 119th number of the book of Psalms. And we're going to read for your hearing just four or five verses. But when you get time, read all 176 verses in the 119th number of Psalms. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." And we'll stop right there. As you take your seats this morning, again, I want to place special emphasis, and especially for our young people, on the word of God. How many of you know there is power in God's word? Amen. There's power in his word. Thank you so much, ushers. Thank you. I've stopped by this morning to let you know that whatever it is that God plans to do in your life, whatever mountains he will have you to climb, whatever rivers he will enable you to cross, he will do it essentially through his word. The Bible says that when God got ready to create the world, guess what? He did it with the word. You remember back in Genesis, the Bible proclaims that God said, "Let there be light." Amen. And there was light. That's the power of his word. The Bible says that he holds this whole thing together by the power of his word. If you don't believe me, look at Job chapter 38 and verse 12. You hear God asking Job, "Have you ever once commanded the morning to appear?" Talking about the power of his word. The Bible further tells us that when he got ready to save humanity, he did it, guess what? Through his word. John chapter 1 and verse 1, the writer John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And so Jesus raises a profound question. He asks us, "Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God?" My brothers and sisters, that says to me that every error that I make in life, every mistake or failure that comes my way, is because I don't have an adequate understanding of God's word. parents, I'm telling you that if we're going to save our young people, if we're going to save our children, we've got to equip them with the Word of God. I brought up a scripture this morning in Sunday school, Proverbs 1:7, where it says that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. In other words, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how intellectual you think you are. You really don't know anything if you don't fear God. And you cannot fear a God that you don't know. I said you can't fear a God that you don't know. And thank you, Brother Babineau, for bringing out that that fear is not the fear, you know, that we have with boogeyman. It's not the fear that we have when we watch scary movies. That's not the kind of fear that the writer, that King Solomon was talking about when he said that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. It's not the fear that we associate with the acrostic, false evidence appearing real. That's not the fear that Solomon was talking about. Because when it comes to fearing God, you don't fear him based upon false evidence. You fear him based upon what is factual and what is true. What do you know about God? I know that it is in him that I live, that I move, that I have my being. I know that he holds my next breath in the palm of his hands. I know that he holds my next heartbeat in the palm of his hands. I fear him because he is large and in charge. Anybody know it? Anybody know that he's got power? Amen. And so Jesus suggests to us that we mess up, we make mistakes, we fail because we don't have an adequate understanding of the Word of God. And let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, the Word is inextricably tied up with power. I said his Word is inextricably tied up with power. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that I can have the power to deal with this life situations provided I know the Word. Amen. Amen. It suggests that I can have the power, amen, to deal with enemies, to deal with haters, to deal with being lied on and talked about, provided I got enough Word in me. Amen. Let me ask you, Pleasant Hill, how many of you know you got enough Word in you? Now, don't lie. Amen. Come on, somebody needs to say, I need a little more. Amen. There's still some work got to be done on me. Because every now and then when I get in a situation that's tight and ain't right, when folk rub me the wrong way, it ain't always the Word of God that comes out. Oh, y'all want to get holy now. Amen. But wouldn't it be wonderful, my brothers and sisters, is that every time we were tempted to cuss or that we were tempted to lie, that instead of cussing or lying, we brought forth the Word of Almighty God? There is power in his Word. Give him praise in this place. And just so that I can present a witness to you this morning, I ask you to turn in your Bibles or on your phones to the 119th number of the book of Psalms. Now, there's nothing majestic about this 119th number of Psalms. There's nothing, amen, that is particularly so beautiful about it other than this fact. It is talking about the Word of God. As a matter of fact, in 176 verses, there are only 5 verses that make no mention of the Word of God. Amen. And so, as you read the 119th number of Psalms, you discover that if you're not just trying to be emotional about your relationship with God, but you want to worship him based upon what you know about him, then this 119th number of Psalm will have meaning for you. If you want to have, amen, more than what Paul called a zeal of God, not according to knowledge, then this passage will have meaning to you. Because it is a song that glorifies the Word of God. Y'all think about all the stuff that we glorify. Amen. My friend and the rapper that we had here a couple of years ago, D1, he's fighting a battle because he's calling out the secular rappers. Amen. He's received death threats because he is telling these secular rappers that they are doing a disservice to our children by glorifying murder, by glorifying drugs, by glorifying abusing women and calling women out of their names. D1 is fighting right now. It seems like he's fighting single-handedly against that kind of glorification, and he's telling them that we owe our young people better. Is there anybody here who knows we owe our children better? But many of us will allow them to listen to all of this worldly, secular music. Now, don't get me wrong, I listen to some secular music too. But I'm not going to listen to anything that is going to demean God's creation. I'm not going to listen to anything that puts down that God has called good. Do I have a witness today? So I want to encourage us to pray for D1. Amen. Amen. They really hot on his trail. Amen. But he's standing up because he said he would rather honor God than honor man. Now, this 119th number of Psalms is divided into 22 parts based upon the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. We've got 26 letters in our alphabet, but the Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters. And the reason he does it this way is because in the psalmist's mind, the word of God is so important that we ought to be able to remember it. We ought to be able to recite it. We ought to get it, amen, etched in our minds and on the table of our hearts. And so he writes it in a way that we can remember it. And there are some very pertinent things that he brings out under each of those letters of the alphabet. Let's look at it. Let's look at a few of them. Amen. Under the first alphabet, he says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, y'all know the word blessed translates what? What is the word? Amen. Happy. Amen. He says that if you want to be happy, if you want to wear a smile instead of a frown, if you're tired of looking grumpy and distasteful, David lets us know that we ought to become familiar with God's word. Anybody tired of wearing a frown and you want to smile? Amen. Can I tell you how you can wear a smile instead of a frown? Get in the word. Come on, where are my witnesses who have discovered that there's joy in his word? Amen, amen. If you're sitting there wondering why you can't praise God the way other folk praise God, it might be that you need to get reacquainted with the word of God. I'm looking at Sister Mallet. She used to be over at Cherub Choir, and I can remember they used to sing a song that said everybody ought to praise the Lord. Amen. The children would sing everybody ought to praise the Lord. David said it like this, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. How many of you got some breath in your body this morning? Come on and give him some praise. Not because I said do it, but because of how good he's been to you. Come on and celebrate him this morning. Hallelujah. So if you're looking for happiness, you'll find it in the word of God. That's why David was able to say in verse 7, he says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Now, when you look at the 119th number of Psalms, amen, I said that every verse except 5 talks about the word. Now, it doesn't just say the word. He uses different words that are synonymous to the word. He uses word like God's judgments, his statutes, his precepts, his law. Amen. All of those words are synonymous to the word of God. And so the first thing he tells us is that if you want to be happy, get in the word of God. But then the next thing he tells us under the next alphabet, look at it. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That tells me, my brothers and sisters, that if you've been looking to clean up your dirty past, If you've been seeking and searching for a way to renew your wayward course, then your answer is in the word of God. Look at verse 11. He says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." So there is cleansing. Tell your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, there is cleansing in the word." He goes on in verse 17, underneath the cloak of the third alphabet of the Hebrew tongue, he goes on to say, "Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word." In other words, David was saying, "Grant me a long life that I may be able to glory in your word." And at the same time, he's telling us that if you want to live the long life, you better get acquainted with the word. Oh my, I thank God for my mother, 94 years old, amen. I thank God for Deacon Thompson, amen, 93 or 94 or 95, I don't know, 100, amen. But I know that he's a student of God's word. And let me just ask you, Brother Thompson, do you believe that your relationship with God and your relationship with his word has had anything to do with you still being here? You'd be out of here. Amen. So thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. And then, y'all, he says in verse 23, and this is my favorite, he says, "Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." He's saying in so many words that there were those that used to sit around and talk about me. He's saying in so many words that there were those who used to scandalize my name, but they aren't around now, and I'm still here because instead of throwing stone for stone, I stayed in your word. Amen. Instead of trying to get back at them, instead of trying to get even with them, David says, "Lord, I stayed in your word." So young people, hear me, amen, because all of the killing that's going on in our nation over little petty stuff, folk are shooting one another and fighting one another over petty stuff. Young folk, let me tell you that if you want to have a good relationship with God, instead of trying to get back at folk, get in the word. His word is a lamp unto my feet. His word is a light unto my path. Come on and thank God for the word. But then I'm going to give you one more. I'm not going to go through all 22 of the alphabet, but just one more I want to give you, because David realized that in this life, sometimes we get discouraged. Yeah, oh, saved you. Sometimes we get discouraged. Amen. Sanctified you, big Bible under your arm, you, amen. Amen, at church every Sunday, you, amen, on virtual prayer every week, when we have it, you, amen, if you're saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, you still got to admit that sometimes in this life, come on, I need y'all to take your halos off for just a second. Sometimes in this life, you can get discouraged. David, in this text, is discouraged. Now, I need to tell you that a lot of his discouragement was because of his own mess ups. And is there anybody here that can point fingers at David? No, I can't point fingers at him, because a lot of my depression, a lot of my discouragement was because of my own mess. And so he says, sometimes we get discouraged, but he discovered that there is rejuvenation, there is revival in God's word. Look at verse 25. He says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." David was saying, "Lord, I'm down and depressed. I'm in a state of discouragement. But like Dr. King once said, sometimes I feel discouraged and feel that my work is in vain. But then the Holy Spirit comes and revives my soul again." He was trying to tell us that there is revival in the word of God. Come on and thank God if you've ever been revived because of the word. If you've ever been lifted, amen, because of the word, you ought to give God praise in this place. Now, it's almost as if David heard me say, because I thought it. I said, well, the David does a real good job of celebrating the word of God, and he uses the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet to sing praises about God's word. And the Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said that if they can celebrate with 22 letters, then we ought to have a greater celebration because we've got 26 letters in our alphabet. Now, I thought about that, and I said to myself, how can I outpraise David? How can I outworship David? Amen. David wrote the book of Psalms. David was a mighty warrior for God. David fought Goliath. David did all of those things for God. How can I outpraise David? And it just took me a few minutes to begin to look back over my life and think about all that God has done for me. And I don't know about you this morning, but God has been good to me. And can I tell you that he's been good to me in spite of me? I wish I could stand here as your pastor and tell you that I always get it right. I wish I could stand here as your pastor and tell you that I never mess up and that I never make mistakes, but I would be telling you a lie. But I can say this, that in spite of me, God has been blessing me. I can't stand here and tell you that in spite of my shortcomings, I'm so happy, and I know that I'm not by myself. I've got to testify that he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Is there anybody here this morning you ever needed God, and just when you thought that he would turn his back on you, he showed up in the midst of your trial? He showed up in the midst of your storm, and he made a way out of no way. Can I tell you what you ought to do? You ought to give God some praise. Can I tell you the whole thing? He's been better to me than I've been to myself. And so it was almost like David challenged me and said, so you think you have a greater praise? He said, well, let me put you to the test based upon your little alphabet. And he called out the letter A, and I looked at him and I said, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. He looked at me and said, B. I said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He said, see, I said, create in me a clean heart, O God. He said, D, I said, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He said, E, I said, every good and perfect gift comes from God. He said, F, I said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down. He said, G, I said, give me a clean heart, O God. He said, H, I said, have mercy on me, O God. He said, I said, in thee do I put my trust. He said, J, I said, judge not that ye be not judged. He said, K, I said, keep thy heart with all diligence. He said, L, I said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting arms. And all I'm telling you is that if God has been good to you, you ought to give him praise. All I'm telling you is that if he woke you up this morning, you ought to have a praise on your lips.
You ought to have clapping in your hands. You ought to have joy in your heart. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Give him praise. 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 As
we at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
Somewhere.